It is a tough time in history to find decent, affordable housing in our region. It is especially hard in much of California, where across the state, housing costs take up a larger chunk of income than in many states. California is one of a few states that allows rent control, some rent control, actual caps on rent increases, but there are many restrictions on rent control. Proposition 10 would change that. It would allow cities and counties more options for imposing rent control. Today, we'll get into the yes side of Prop 10. We have reached out to the opponents as well. Our guest for this portion is Michael Lane, the policy director at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, who represents Yes on 10. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. This starts out a little complicated because, again, few states do allow rent control. California does, but it's limited. Can you explain the Costa-Hawkins law limits?
Yeah, so the state legislature passed this in 1995, and it really means that you can only apply rent control or rent stabilization ordinances to older buildings pre-1995, and in some cases for those jurisdictions that already had rent control, like San Francisco, Santa Monica, for example, it's even earlier, like 1979, for example. And we also have what we call vacancy decontrol, so that when a tenant moves out, then the landlord can then raise the rents to the existing competitive market rents. And so it could go from a more affordable unit to a very expensive unit.
So if somebody's been living in the place under rent control for a while and they move out, then bink, with the landlord gets a chance to boot that up to the current market rate?
Exactly. And so as you can imagine, that creates an incentive, unfortunately, to not maintain properties, et cetera, or to harass tenants. And so that's why tenant protections are so important. And we need local ordinances that actually work and aren't limited by state law, as Costa-Hawkins does.
Are there any protections for renters under Costa-Hawkins to keep people from getting given eviction notices without cause, that sort of thing?
There are. That's a separate body of law in terms of rent notices and to force renters to vacate, for example, if they're breaking their lease, and that kind of thing tends to fall under, you know, contract and tenant-landlord law.
So, Michael, is Proposition 10 just a repeal of Costa-Hawkins, or is it a bit more comprehensive than that?
It actually just returns the power to local jurisdictions. It just would repeal that the state law, and then, in essence, revert back to prior to 1995. Many jurisdictions may not adopt, or they may adopt ordinances that are unaligned with their local real estate and rental markets. They would just have more freedom to be able to address rent stabilization and really to go after the worst gouging that we see in some cases, where rents are increased $1,000 a month. All of a sudden, you end up with an economic eviction where the tenant's certainly following all the rules and they're contracted under their lease, but they just can't afford to stay there anymore. And so we're seeing patterns of resegregation emerge in large swaths of California, and lower income workers having to move farther and farther away from their jobs, and it's creating tremendous stress. So some jurisdictions would like to be able to help stabilize those rents and protect those renters while making sure that there's still a fair rate of return available to landlords to stay in the business.
You said resegregation. Can you expand that a little bit?
Yeah, some of our communities of color in particular have been forced out of our urban cores into far-flung areas of the state and have to commute back into work. We're seeing that in other low-income families of all ethnicities are facing tremendous pressures right now with rents and with double-digit increases year over year. It just becomes unsustainable because wages aren't keeping pace with those rent increases.
So I noticed that you're not the first person to use rent stabilization instead of rent control. Is there any difference between the terms? Is it just a matter of semantics?
Well, it could be semantics. I mean, once again, it just goes back to the fact that jurisdictions would have the ability to stabilize rents over time as long as the landlord is still receiving a fair rate of return. It could be more along the lines of anti-gouging or setting some upper limits on those increases over time, so it stabilizes rents over time. And as I said, they could have, you know, vacancy decontrol or not. Once again, that would all return back to the local jurisdiction, who are directly responsible to voters, and then would have to answer to the ordinances that they adopt. And they could help protect renters and also make sure that landlords are able to operate efficiently and effectively and receive a fair rate of return.
All right, so I want to make a couple of distinctions here. If Prop 10 passes, it does not mean that California suddenly gets wall-to-wall rent control, correct? This would be a decision totally up to local jurisdictions, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It mandates nothing, and it just gives that that option to local jurisdictions like city councils and boards of supervisors who could do a feasibility analysis. They'd have to have public hearings. There'd be opportunity for public comment to put together an ordinance that could work for everyone in the community.
Michael Lane is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He represents the yes side on Proposition 10 in California, which would repeal the Costa-Hawkins law and allow more local communities to implement rent control, rent stabilization, whatever you want to call it, should they desire. You can join the conversation on the Exchange with questions, comments, and maybe some stories from your own life about ways in which rent control has affected you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Michael, can you explain the mechanisms just a bit? I mean, how rent control works? Because, I mean, there's a good chance a lot of people listening have never had something like rent control or rent stabilization.
Sure. So, you know, typically there you'd have your market rate rents, but then there would be, you'd be limited to the increases year over year, say 4 or 5% increase per year. And that would give some certainty to the tenant who's renting to know that what their rent increases will be over time, and to be able to plan for that, even if their wages aren't catching up with that, but to find ways that they'll be able to make the rent each month, and to know, have at least some certainty, limit the number of increases per year, for example. So those are some of the ways that we get at this. Homeowners actually, by the way, have this type of protection. Their Proposition 13, they know that their property taxes aren't going to increase more than 2% a year. So they have that protection, but renters don't really have that kind of protection. So all of a sudden they could be hit with 10, 15, 20% rent increase year over year, and then trying to scramble to find ways to either make up that rent or then having to move out. And so this is trying, that's why we use the word stabilization sometimes, because it stabilizes the rent, but it also stabilizes homes for lower income workers and families.
So it's not that the rent won't increase, it'll just increase at a rate that you understand and know what is going to be in advance?
That's correct.
All right. So nobody's rent goes down, certainly under rent control, it seems like.
Right.
All right. So what we were talked about trying to get landlords a fair rate here. What kinds of levers or mechanisms exist within Prop 10, if any, to allow landlords to raise rent enough to make money? Or is that entirely up to the local jurisdiction?
Yeah, so typically what you do, and this will be part of the public hearing process, is if you come forward with a feasibility analysis to be able to defend what you're adopting, and to make sure that the landlord's able to cover costs and make a fair return on investment. But that would have to be demonstrated. It would depend on the local real estate market, et cetera. Generally, CPI and some of those other indices that economists often use. And so that would all be part of a staff report that would be brought forward along with the ordinance to be able to defend implementation.
Well, the idea of a fair rate of return for a landlord can be a fairly tricky zone to get into, I would think, because on one hand, you'd say, well, I've got the money that you have situations where people have their costs are covered. So they're making money. They're making a profit on the place. But if they don't raise the rent higher, they're not making as much as some other landlords might make.
This would apply across the jurisdiction. And so in that sense, it would be uniform in terms of the percentage of the increase, and I think the idea is to create a level playing field. It's certainly not to hurt landlords or to damage them on the one hand. On the other hand, it's more like an anti-gouging type of an ordinance, in particular for those most egregious kinds of increases, which actually immediately cause economic evictions and displacement. I think that's what many jurisdictions would be looking at, certainly initially.
Is there any sort of figure that you kind of have in your back pocket all the time at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, some figure above which you think rent increases begin to get abusive over the course of a year?
Yes. Yeah, so we've seen, you know, there are some ordinances obviously on the books in jurisdictions, and oftentimes in mobile home parks, we'll see that as well. And typically it's CPI or some kind of an index like that plus a percentage, some amount. So
CPI plus one, CPI plus two, that sort of thing?
Somewhere in there. So you could say 5 to 8% year over year. By the time you get beyond that, it gets more difficult for renters certainly to catch up, you know, given relatively stagnant salaries and many for many lower income workers. But that's a general ballpark, I would say.
We're talking again with Michael Lane, the policy director at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California. He represents the yes side on Proposition 10 as it reads on the ballot, expands local government's authority to enact rent control on residential property. It's an initiative statute. Yes vote means state law would not limit the kinds of rent control laws cities and counties could have. A no vote means state law would continue to limit the kinds of rent control laws cities and counties could have. You can join the discussion on the exchange. Talk about whether you think this is good for California, good for renters, something Oregon might think about too, or whether it's not such a great idea and why. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Michael, the Ellis Act in California allows rental landlords to evict tenants and get out of the rental business. I mean, some discussion of Prop 10's effect would be that there's a discussion that the landlords would exercise that right to avoid rent control.
We don't see that necessarily happen. I think that it's still a very lucrative rental market, and there's lots of demand for those properties. And so we still believe that they will not significantly impact the rental markets, and particularly those jurisdictions that do a feasibility analysis. That would be part of their consideration of any types of limits they would put on rent increases, et cetera, to not discourage rental housing in their community. So that's all part of the complex types of negotiations that will need to take place in the public hearings at the local level based on the local real estate market.
So I want to be clear about that again. I mean, Prop 10 is not necessarily an end. It's more like a beginning, because it then would set off within many local jurisdictions the process you're talking about, where there would be discussion of adopting a local rent control ordinance, but it wouldn't impose rent control right off the bat by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, it mandates nothing, and that's why our organization felt it's the right way to go, because it does allow local jurisdictions to meet their local community needs with community input directly from the citizens affected, both landlords and tenants. And so it's really a case of transparency and democracy, particularly as we try to find ways to address the housing affordability crisis. This is another tool that jurisdictions can consider, but in no way does it impose anything at all.
You mentioned that you did decide at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California that this is the way to go. Was there much discussion? I mean, was there any particular agonizing over supporting Prop 10?
Yeah, we took our time to do due diligence and analysis on it. And we think it's, obviously production of new affordable housing is very important as well as part of the toolbox, as it were, to really address the crisis. So we didn't want to do anything to dampen the development of new market rate housing, and most jurisdictions actually don't apply rent control to new buildings. It's just typically, buildings that are already existing, have been existing for some time, to address some of those initial costs, construction costs, et cetera, and it applies later in the life cycle of a building. And so we took all that into consideration, because the displacement crisis is so great right now. We need to stabilize our communities and at least have this tool for those jurisdictions that are most affected, because they're creating so many new jobs and bringing in, large corporations and expansions, et cetera, of campuses and new office development, et cetera, and unable to keep up with housing production to be able to maintain existing tenants. This could be an opportunity to do that with a well-thought-out ordinance, while you're also additionally adding new market rate and affordable housing as well. So it's part of a holistic approach, one tool that the jurisdictions could look at. And those are the kinds of solutions that we promote as an organization.
Is there a sample ordinance, a sort of like a framework for cities to use? I mean, do you have something like that as in case Prop 10 does pass?
We will certainly be working on those types of opportunities. I think the feasibility analyses are going to be, very critical about what the ordinance should look like. But to be able to provide basic templates, I know jurisdictions are already considering what those might look like. We work closely with certainly many of the cities in the San Francisco Bay Area and their housing directors and staff. And so we'll be working with them to find what an appropriate ordinance would be that would not diminish the production of new housing or encourage landlords to take rental housing off the market, but in fact would find that happy medium of a balance where fair rate of return for landlords and rent increases that are manageable for tenants.
All right, so not diminish rental housing, but is there anything in Proposition 10 that specifically would stimulate or incentivize the creation of new housing?
There again, I think there's it just devolves the power back to the local jurisdictions. And there are ways that they can incentivize additional housing. And obviously, zoning is a key part of that. And many times it's appropriate to do taller multifamily buildings in the downtown or along major thoroughfares where higher densities would be possible and would actually blend in and make, for example, your transit system work better, et cetera. So it ties in with a lot of the good planning that's been done to really drive infill types of development opportunities and to revitalize downtowns. And so I think it's part of that broader movement about how we meet housing demand in the state and stabilize lower-income families in their communities.
A recent poll published in the Sacramento Bee showed a slim majority, and we are talking really slim, 51% of renters are thinking of voting against Proposition 10. How do you overcome the fears of renters that the rental market, should this pass, will become tighter still?
Well, so it's an all-of-the-above approach. So we also believe you need to provide additional new housing and affordable housing. And we've also got measures on the ballot to promote investments in those areas as well. But I think some of the opposition messaging wasn't correct because I think it implied that this would immediately impose statewide rent control, whereas, you know, quite frankly, city council could be very thoughtful about this and have to go through a process to be able to defend decisions that they make and go through a democratic public hearings and input, et cetera. And so I think it actually will stir debate about real solutions, and I think it will actually help us stabilize communities and get to solutions to our affordability crisis in the state.
So what is the pitch then to a renter who's nervous and on the fence about Proposition 10? I mean, how do you speak to that person in a language they can understand about where they get a benefit from this?
So there's a great opportunity for thoughtful city council members and boards of supervisors to find the happy medium to, as I said, protect the rate of return for landlords, so that's fair and they can stay in business, but also to make sure that we can stabilize rents over time to protect renters and allow them to stay in their rental housing. And that I think that's the goal for everyone. And those are not exclusive goals. I think we can produce more affordable housing and we can also stabilize existing renters and their rents. And that's the aim of the measure. And I think, as I said, it will just empower local jurisdictions to make good decisions rather than having a one-size-fits-all that kind of shuts down any ability to really maneuver at the local level because you have things like vacancy decontrol and other aspects of the Costa-Hawkins legislation from the mid-90s. So it's really time to modernize, I think, and take a hard look at what we did since it's been several decades ago now. And particularly given the affordability crisis, I think it's appropriate to revisit some of those decisions and to modernize the way we approach rent stabilization.
All right, Costa-Hawkins would be repealed if Proposition 10 passes. A yes vote means state law would not limit the kinds of rent control laws cities and counties could have. A no vote means state law would continue to limit the kinds of rent control laws cities and counties could have in California. Michael Lane, Policy Director at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks a lot. Take care.